Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Benedy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I can start my little conversation with you by one of your favorite quotes. And if this, I love you for it. With reasonable people, you reason.
With reasonable men, I will reason.
All,
yes, sir.
All reasonable people, that left them by the side where.
That's your remake of it. Yes, sir.
That's my remake of it. My reason for saying that. Yesterday, I made a call on a radio station because it belongs to the point, it belongs to the river. And concerning...
All right, that was lightning and thunder, and that hit your line. So I hope you still got power, because if you don't, you're gone. I think I lost you, right? Yeah, I heard that. That crackling meant there was thunder here and lightning as well. And, well, I didn't see the lightning, but I heard the thunder. And that crackling is a lightning hit. Sorry about that, sir. Get back to me if you can. We got open lines. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Yeah, that one's gone too. Yeah. And that one's gone too. I suppose that there are some people without power in Barbados right now. So we shall try again and see how soon we could get them back. 434-1790 if you have the power. 266-4862. And let's see if we could get our lines back in order. No, that one's gone as well. Just got a WhatsApp message here that says, Collis Blackman, a former director of the Barbados Employers Confederation, passed away early this morning. He was 80. If that's the same person I'm thinking about, I got to double check this. Okay. 2020 continues. Hi, Dennis. Someone may have raised this already, but I was trying to use the EasyPay platform to pay driver's license for a relative who is over 70. Unfortunately, the Easy platform does not allow drivers over 70 to pay online. They require a medical certificate, that's true, to be physically brought to the office. My relative, who is over 70, needed to leave home, join a line in the Pine to pay for the license. Can the authorities consider this process to allow uploads of medical certificates to be done so seniors can benefit from the online payment process and not be restricted from this benefit, especially in this COVID environment? Seems logical. If you're in what is considered the high priority area for COVID contraction, it would make sense to keep you out of long lines and persons for as long as possible. That would make sense. That would make sense. Right. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. I see my lines are back up.
Good
yes.
afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Hey.
This fella just start with a little quote from you.
Yeah, that usual. No, my quote. I stole it.
Right. You stole it.
I stole it. I saw it in a book. I saw it in a book, and I thought it was a good one. And when I started doing this program 26 years ago, and I was asked what my philosophy was, I dredged it up, and I kept it since then.
Okay. But I got one that I have for the last 50 years. For the cause that lacks assistance against the wrongs that need resistance for the future and the existence and the good that I can do. Right. I notice that, I don't know if it's only me, but on the street, and we are talking to individual males, a lot of them are of the same opinion. And this country, Barbados, is heading down a path, whereas that we find there's discrimination against men, and not surprisingly, most of the times, it's the men who would represent the women. Listening to the meeting in St. George, I kept hearing the Prime Minister going back in history. This Prime Minister bring this body from the Union. This Prime Minister bring the Union from why she is a woman can't bring a woman and all sorts of things. I heard Santer Bradshaw, the Minister of Education, with the same thing. And you know, it worries me that a lot of male callers who are calling these programs with some issues cannot see it fit to represent the truth where these things are really concerned. I do not believe nobody objected to $100 or more because she is a woman. That these things are being put in people's head to manipulate people. And eventually, it is going to cause a divergence, a rift between we as human beings, both male and female. And if the men, especially the men that are in parliament today, don't be careful, you will shortly become extinct. Because this path that is being led is a path of destruction. I saw Tom Adams brought Billy Miller, went after embraced her. He embraced Miss Thompson. He embraced Mayor Motley. And I want to know why these people are always pushing this vibe. Oh, the boy doing this here because there's a woman. In this country of Barbados, women have more than 60% of the jobs. More, and this didn't happen from today. This is for the last, since 1975, when the survey was done, it was 38,000 men to 31,000 women. In 2016, it was 63,000 women to 51,000 men. So when it comes to the development of people, women have been at the getting the forefront on the backs of men. Men have created all the opportunities for the women. And it hurts me, Mr. Johnson, it hurts me a lot to see men walk in the street with their head down in the ground because they cannot say, whether it's before the court, the child support or whatever, they cannot say or do nothing because most of the times there are men who are really against them and representing these women. At the end of the day, who suffers because of this? Who suffers because of this diversion? The only body could be suffering is the children, because the children are raising up without both parents, and especially a man figure in a home, or he is only to be there to protect you. He's only there to provide food. I heard David Ellis in a conversation with Maggie Holder yesterday, and he was actually saying that the men don't really come out and talk. Yes, because we definitely don't come out and talk. We don't come out because we feel we're strong. But you know something? When the young boys in this generation open the mouth and talk, you can be shocked to find out the type of abuse. And it's very unfortunate that the lady that was the lady who was the chief education officer, Ms. Watson, years ago, she said on this brass tax program about 2 years ago that boys were being always unfair in schools. I called the program together to come back, but unfortunately, it never happened, and she passed away without actually explaining to you what it is. It is totally unfair that we have leaders pushing this vibe, because as far as I can see, these people want you, the feminists of this world, want to lead at all costs. And that is what is happening in this country of Barbados. The feminists want to lead. And I think this is all wrong. When a person has the ability, don't care if it's man or woman, to do a job, you give them the job. But you find even in the police forces, police force, defense force, a woman only got to come in and say she's pregnant. Boom. No more word for you. Take off your belt. You're in there for months to the child born. Then, eventually, you're in there for 2 or 3 months, 3 years without coming up on the road to represent. How much women you see, police women you see on the beat on the night? No. And if you see one, they've got to be with a man. So when I hear about these strong women, this and these strong women, that the women want to be in the decision-making positions, but in the face of adversity and war, they are always going to run and take a back seat. Dennis, thanks for your time.
And thank you for your perspective as well, sir. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother D. The lightning
yeah.
got me.
Open. The lightning cut you out. Right. Tell me what you were saying.
Yeah, what I was saying is yesterday made a call concerning something. My washing machine on another radio station. And about 3 friends of mine meet me at town yesterday. Say, man, who you think you is? That you calling and talking about this and calling and talking about that. Only to find out that my report was lodged under some under my name, but in St. Philip. So how can the company start doing things for me every day make a call? Only today the lady called me, and when I gave her the number, she said, well, this thing was lodged under something different. So people just always juke them out in things that should concern them. When they have a problem, deal with your problem. A lot of people deal with their problems. That's why I use your quotation with unreasonable people. You're reasonable people. You're reasonable, unreasonable people. Then left them
leave them alone.
leave them alone. For them no more but you than yourself.
As always happens, though. There are people who jump to conclusions based on what they think you are, not what you are. So that's
Of course. So I must say thanks to the lady at Lady Paul that called me, and she told me she's going to
fix your problem.
As far as I'm concerned.
Good.
Thanks to her.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you as well. Yes. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I know. How are you?
I am all right.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
If people... Who owns the... I'll ask the first question. I know who owns it. Through the country in which the people come. But I'll ask you this question. Who owns the Arawak cement plant?
The Arawak cement plant is supposedly a joint venture between Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago, but that's not who owns it right now. That's not who owns it right now.
I know. You see the color of the people?
Yes, sir. Right.
Mexican company.
Yes, CIMEX. CIMEX, I think it is.
Barbados and Trinidad. It started with a joint venture between Barbados and Trinidad. Mm-hmm.
But it was bought out
by the Trinidad
company, CIMEX.
Then Trinidad, and then it was sold to a Mexican company. It didn't have the majority interest. The point I'm making is, do you expect people to come from a country that people have no respect for their own to respect our people in another country?
No, sir, I do not. And this is my challenge with the way we treat this employment situation in Barbados. Because of political and other reasons, we undercut the power of trade unionism, and we do it to our detriment. I have seen the COVID-19 pandemic expose blatantly the lack of human resource management in this country, at all levels, sir.
The point I'm making is, and it concerns me a great deal. When I was at school, and I did geography, and I did study policy, whatever about Latin America, Mr. Johnson, those people have no respect for human rights.
Nope.
Most of those countries. They have utter disregard for the native people. Nothing so. Trade unions, I don't know what it is. So what I'm saying is, here's it. I am concerned about the foreign investment coming into Barbados from Latin America. I mean, I think about three or four in Barbados. And the attitude to those people to their own is something of concern. I noticed that First Caribbean has now been bought by a Colombian company, right? From what I saw in the paper some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that we should be vigilant and be very careful what we're going to get our people into. At least there are people. We don't want to see them treated like slaves and to be disregarded as human beings.
But what do we do when we are faced with that situation? Because we are people who are not... We don't like to change. I mean, for how long have we heard about people standing up in the sun waiting to get into the bank, and they were still doing it up to a couple of days ago, and they don't want to move. They're quite happy to go to that institution, maybe because they got too many loans and mortgages and they tied up with that particular institution. But management structures, there are complaints being made of a hotel organization here in Barbados too. But if we have no power, or we seem not to want to have power when we talk about investors, we say bring your money and then dictate to us whatever you're accustomed doing, and we go along
with it. That's right. That's the point. This is the interesting thing that I see in quoting on us, right?
ICBL being sold, so... Should we also expect a change?
I would like to tell you about that. But that's an interesting story. I would love to talk to you about that.
I got a note from someone who's a shareholder who told me that they were offered, 86 U.S. cents for a share. And I go, okay, I guess. And I'm sure that people will sell.
But it is sad to see. What saddens me about ICB, right? I was one of the first people to insure with ICB. In fact, they gave me some certificate or something when I celebrating something. I was one of the first people. Okay. And I remember, I mean, I was high, and the reason why I insured with ICB was this. I thought when I insured with ICB, I saw people like me, being a large number of people being working in the organization. I was always very proud when I went to ICB to pay my premiums. I never cared about paying insurance premiums when I insured with ICB, because I thought here my premium was
paying people like me.
For any profits made, Mr. Johnson, uh-huh. we've been in Barbados to help our own people go to Consolidated Fund or whatever and help our people. So for me, I thought I never worried about paying premiums to ICB. In fact, I'm still insured ICB. But what I'm saying is, and that saddened me when I see that it was sold by the Bermudans, little Bermuda, who was small in Barbados, and we could sell it to them. Then now I see that some other person, I don't know whomsoever, and that saddens me, because I thought that, I mean, I went to be in prison. In fact, I was thinking of moving, because I think the next best for me would be cooperative.
Co-op, yeah. And
that's the one that's owned by the Powers Credit Union mm-hmm. for me, because I'm very interested in doing things that will help Barbados.
Cool.
No, I'm not saying we should isolate ourselves from others, but I'm saying, given our history, mm-hmm. I feel so ICB saddens me a great deal. When I go to pay my premiums out there, I am not happy. So I might move. So I'm saying that I'm not, you see, this is saying, it won't take long to discuss this whole issue. So as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. right? But it's really unfortunate to see that was created for us.
But you see, and this is a question that I suppose one of these days when, you know, we perhaps have a special program in it, or we have people who are interested in discussing it, that I would like us to take a look at. Because if we're talking about widening the ownership base of institutions in Barbados, if we're encouraging people to invest in bonds and other instruments rather than putting their money in their bank, where is the confidence going to come from when you see someone who, perhaps like you, in addition to just getting a premium, may have invested in ICBL shares when they were available,
okay.
or people like me who invested in OCM shares when they became available, or people who invested in Bartel when they were Bartel, and the other companies that we've lost over the period, when they are being sold out for under market value, significantly under market value, when you're left with a take it or leave it option, and what you thought would have been a long-term investment, I'm not going to get into ClickCoin, I'm not going to get into trade confirmers, because they may have been short-term investments in some cases. I'm talking about people who saw it as a long-term investment. I mean, I won't even touch Sagicor either, but when you have that type of sellout, if you want to call it that, where is the confidence going to be built up? When the stock market is, you know, stock exchanges, just losing companies over and over. Where will your people, how will your people's confidence be raised so that they want to invest in anything else that you come up with?
That's right. The thing about it is that, I mean, this is another thing that saddens me. Every night I look at the news, I see no trading on the stock exchange. Mm-hmm. Because there are no shares owned by Barbados. There are no shares on the stock exchange owned by Barbadians to be traded.
No,
all the companies that are worthwhile, in fact, all the major profit takers are foreign owned. So there's nothing on the stock exchange. Anything to buy. What is to buy? Nothing. So every night, no trading on the main market. Mm-hmm. That's what we see every night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that to me, right? Only a few days ago, I was chatting with a friend of mine about a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at something that Arabaro did, right? To me, all right, in 1961, right, Mr. Barrow abolished the school fees in secondary schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1963, he established the College of Arts and Science at the University of Harvard, then became Cable Campus, and of course, then the community college came. And I said this. And I was talking about the sale of a large number of plantations and the people who bought it. You look at the vision. You see what I'm coming to? The vision of a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these people, let me give you a simple example. Many teachers who were teaching in, say, secondary schools, who didn't even have a degree at the time, could go to Cable, by 66, 67, and so on, people were getting better salaries, right? They were then able to buy land. They got the Claymonts, the Bagatelles, the Prayer Parks, all around me here, and all that. And I'm just on a walk with the a few ideas can you can change the society, right? You see, if people don't have vision, the people will perish, as they say. You see?
It's just that people have different visions about how they're going to get to what they want to get to. I raised the in discussion this morning when we were talking about land ownership and land use. I said as long as agriculture, you know, remains, the vision is there is poor paid, hard work, and no prestige. People will not want to own acres, whereas other people will own acres because they see the prestige in it. They see the income, but it's on the backs of other types of labor. So we had a vision of changing the society from one that was working in the fields to one that was working in the offices. We had a group of people who, whose image was get a shirt and tie job, you're going to be seen as getting ahead. And we seem to have come to a crossroad where we don't know which way to turn. We don't want to go back to laboring in the field, and wearing a shirt and tie no longer carries the prestige they used to. So now we have this generalized talk about entrepreneurship and working for yourself and creative and, you know, that we still can't figure out how we're going to move. I don't know. We at a crossroads and we don't know which way to go. So who we follow, I don't know. I don't know. Somebody tell me the cable and wireless went from $6 to $2.85. Yep, that's the kind of feeling that I see happening. So it's a discussion we're going to have, and hopefully you will be around and be a part of it. I look forward to it. Thanks for your contribution. This is Long to Brass Tacks. 4341-790. Someone said to me that the horse can't pull the cart, hence companies will change hands, costs will increase. It's for government to ensure that good standards are maintained. I responded by saying I have very little confidence in governments or its agencies maintaining good standards. The person responded, that may be so, but we the people must agitate for good governance. And then they also added the political part, hence Tony Moore should resign her position as leader of the BWU immediately for transparency. I have advocated for good governance for as long as I've sat in this chair. The problem is, sir, I think it's a sir, we do not understand or care about good governance. If you listen to this program daily, what you hear people talking about is great party. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Peace be unto you. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
I taking this privilege today to speak to you and the listeners because in my situation, I happen to have a problem, you know, physically, as you would know, that I am physically challenged. And therefore, I have to give the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ thanks and praise. It is not that I cannot talk about politics because I was following politics from 1961. And I got very involved in politics, even in parties. But, Mr. Johnson, I realized that there's no consistency or there's anything that you know, you could, it is not tangible. You hear something today, and then tomorrow you hear something. So this is what I came up with as a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As long as I have a mouth and have breath lent to me over these past years, because there are many people who would have said that I could not make it. But I thank God today in 2020 that I am still living. So I will say, they that wait upon the Lord he shall increase their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I, Mr. Johnson, want to say, I listen to all the people who are here talking about what they would like. It is phenomenal, Mr. Johnson. It ain't going to happen. And therefore, when you get cross talking with a people that mix up in the people, and you don't understand what they're saying, this is something that you can sit down and deal with. So therefore, I look to the Father who have been providing me with a strength and a voice and a whatnot, and say something on his behalf, because I know that at some time I have something to hold on to. I am still waiting to hear, as I had said to you, that I wanted to hear about the man, the boy, and the donkey, which I read the book. I have it in my book. I then got it afterwards. But the fact remains is that if you understand what you said last time I heard you about the man, the boy, and the donkey, what are we worrying about? You will never be able to get it done, Mr. Johnson. And that is what I believe in.
Okay,
may
sir.
God richly bless you.
I thank you, sir. Unfortunately, yeah, I don't know why I take it up as being my problem. That's the truth, but I can't help it, I guess. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
No, I'm not going to say who I am because I don't want anybody to know who it is, but I'm going to ask you to do something for me because I know this calling program gets things done, especially when Dennis makes an attempt. Even if he doesn't work to the full extent, it does happen. You work on River Road. That is true. Below you, or anytime you look out there, you ever see that the traffic is light over the past few weeks?
Nope.
No. You know why? You see them jersey bars down there by the old National Insurance building?
Mm-hmm.
Find out if you get the move from. That's all I'm begging you to do, Dennis. No, I got another one. There's two things. See, when you were on St. Carnival, you were fire service was, and you go on the Bay Street, you see the marks down there that they put because they had to change the flow
the
of traffic.
Yeah.
They had to put lanes.
Mm-hmm.
It is confusing to people who are going down there, including during the driver's hoop on a test. Sometimes they get confused because there's so many marks. I mean, tell you nothing much. But you see, if I say half a clown like me ain't going to get it done, because they ain't got much intelligence. So I'm trying to get you with the brain and the know-how and the radio station to see if you get it done. Dennis, have a good one. I love you.
Thank you, buddy. I have seen the buildup of traffic. It really is horrendous. I presume that it's for the safety of the people who will pass there, but there is no construction at the moment, and it really clogs up traffic. It really is a nightmare getting out of the station here at the best of times. I gotta tell you that. But, you know, we will see what happens. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am all right, I think.
Good. I want to make an observation.
Mm-hmm.
But that gentleman who called earlier, I just want to say we have to be very careful. We don't marginalize our men and our youngsters. They are there for us to get children. We can't get it on our own. And we just have to remember that and not leave them out and say things just to make them feel in any way funny, because we have a lot of youngsters that don't really regard themselves as being important. They think, it's not important. We can, you know. So this is just an observation that I'm making, that we don't want to marginalize our men. I think our men are very important for us to have. That's just my opinion, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am, before you go off of that subject, before you go off of that subject, it's a subject near and dear to my heart. Because I am male by birth.
Yeah, dear to my heart as well, too.
I'm male by birth. I'm a man by upbringing and a gentleman by choice. That's what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the marginalization of men exacerbated by two things. One, an image some of us have created that we are ashamed of, mm-hmm. and we don't try to change.
Mm-hmm.
And two, by people who have been disappointed by their choices and are too ashamed to say so.
Yes.
When I hear people saying, the man ain't no good, or these men does fool people, and you ask about being fooled once, twice, three times, and the person says, well, I was hoping the next one was going to be different. You ask yourselves, how long does it take you to arrive at that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it take you to realize that you made the wrong decision? And what do you do to stop making the wrong decisions? It can't be that everybody or every male is so smooth-tongued that they could, you know, strip you of everything you don't want to be stripped of in 5 minutes flat.
That's right. The course, I agree with you.
Or during the course of a fete.
Of course.
You know, and my difficulty is when, rather than accept that you've either made the wrong decisions or somebody has disappointed you, blaming it on somebody else or taking it out on the offspring of that event doesn't make sense to me.
That's right. I agree with you.
And when, in an effort to try to assert his masculinity, the young man or the young boy begins to revolt or get upset with everyone and everything female,
mm-hmm.
it throws him into a tailspin. Because the male that he should be looking to for guidance, he has been told from almost birth, is no good.
Good, yes.
And then the female who has been raising him now becomes the antagonist, the person who is fighting with him. He therefore has no one to turn to.
Precisely, I agree with you.
But you see, I've tried to explain this to people I know. I remember saying to someone that I know, look, if this boy that you're raising, his only impression of females will be from either you, his mother,
mm-hmm.
or the female teachers he meets at school. If the female teacher he meets at school is abusive, I didn't even finish the conversation. The person latched into me. So you're saying I'm abusive? I said, whoa, I didn't say so. I was mm-hmm. trying to show that mm-hmm. he has to have some counter to the impression that's being created around him of females.
That's right.
And if he leaves your home and school with the impression that women are abusive, authoritarian, pushing him down into the ground, how will he respond to the female who's attracted to him because
Precisely.
Of whatever reason? It, ma'am, it's difficult for those of us who actually care about gender
heart.
And who really care about interaction between the genders.
It is
difficult, really difficult.
Yes, we have to pray and hope that things would change. We have to look after our men, even although they might have their problems. We as females, we have our problems too, but we can't just let our men down. Well, that was my two cents for it, Mr. Johnson, because that's very, very dear to my heart.
Thank you for it, ma'am. Thank you. Those who feel that way should continue to try to inspire those who don't. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Doctor.
What's up, my friend?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm trying to be good. A bit of a challenge.
Looking, well, I can understand that I wrote part of that thesis.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
So, let me get to my point. It's going to be brief.
Mm-hmm.
Often when I listen to contributions and other conversations, I recognize that many people just have beliefs. We sometimes consider those beliefs feelings or opinions. And I would like to say to the Barbadian listening public and the public beyond Barbados that We have to grow into a society that start believing on belief and start trying to understand, learn, and attain knowledge. So that when we say we believe something is because we understand, we know, we can weigh or we can qualify the statements or we can measure the statements we are making to something that is very practical and clear. Now, I hear a lot of people call it and they would mention the name Jesus Christ. And sometimes some of our callers who would not support that are ridiculed. And I would ask many Christian people to examine and understand what is the meaning of the term Jesus Christ. And it is not the main point of our discussion, but is to say that if you understand what it means, which is, it is first and foremost not a name, it's a title. And if you understand the meaning of the title, it means the anointed Messiah. And if you understand what that means, then you can understand how it can be applied to many creeds, many beliefs, many people. And once you can do that, then you can start a conversation that comes down to what I would say is the nitty-gritty. When we believe that the rain is falling, we can justify it by going outside and getting wet. If I stay in a dark room, or if I'm in one Star Comm Studios, and I hear there's something on the roof, and I said, I believe that the rain is falling, yet I have no proof, the best thing for me to do would be to go to a window, go to a door, and see if what I think is happening is truly happening by investigating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we look at a lot of these circumstances around us, if you look at the political environment across the world, especially in the United States, a president or a person can say, this is what I believe it is. And because people believe in him blindly or her, they would accept what that person is saying without proof, and then become so convinced and convicted with what that belief is that they then will act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way in which many of us in all our spheres of activity tend to fall down. Even in education, you go into school and you learn that 2 and 2 is 4.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand that 2 is a title, and 4 is a title. And what it really means is that the title of 4 is equal to twice the amount of the title of 2. And therefore, we can equate where we say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Because then we have an understanding that we're doubling up. And just those titles help us to easily use a particular word to indicate the action, the actual process that the mathematical equation goes through
mm-hmm.
as a result. And I hope this is pretty simple and understood to many of the listeners, that when our politicians and our doctors and lawyers and our carpenters and our plumbers and even the people who pick up the garbage come to you with a belief, try to understand where the belief comes from in terms of its foundation, in terms of the direct reference. Even with a word, look for the meaning of the word so that you can understand what it translates to or what it applies to, so that when a person is speaking to you, you're listening, that you can clearly understand. And not listen just to answer, but also listen then to communicate.
Right. Yep.
So that you then have a building of our Barbadian society.
You know, Jeremy, I thank you for the intervention and the explanation you've put on this. My challenge is, when will we have enough confidence in the ability of our people to reason, to be able to have this kind of discussion at a level that makes it profitable for society and to engineer genuine change? Because it seems to me, and again, this is just sadly the type of life perhaps I've led over the years, I've seen crowds swayed by persuasive talkers. who sometimes don't believe what they say. They just know how to use words correctly and, you know, enough passion in their voices to sway people. But when they are swayed by those repeatedly and they fail them, they then fail to recognize those who actually use their communication skills to explain things to them in an attempt to actually get them to uplift themselves. So they turn down the genuine ones and they follow the crowd. I've seen it in 3 or 4 different Caribbean islands. So it can't be isolated to one civilization or one domestic space. There has to be something wrong with the way in which we give information or the way in which it is received. And I, unfortunately, don't know how to fix it. That's the truth.
I do agree with you. I mean, if the rain was just falling, I remember that as a child, if you opened the umbrella in the house, you were told that don't open the umbrella. You were told some very harsh terms because if not, duppies can enter the house or something to that effect.
Uh-huh.
And by force, you were forced to accept and believe that if you act your grandmother or mother, well, why? You were told, you hear what I tell you? So the whole construct of believing has been driven into the human psyche rather than the concept of knowing, understanding, and attaining wisdom. Even in our school system, we are taught to believe, and we don't find it necessary to
question.
Help students to understand the construct. We are told, well, this is the formula.
And this is what you do, learn it. And pass.
Exactly.
Well, let's hope it won't always be like that. I thank you for your intervention, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Good. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Okay, good. Mr. Johnson, I am having a little challenge here. And I don't know if you can help me out. It may seem like a small challenge to you, but to me it's a big challenge. I have been trying to get hold of the psychiatric hospital for a couple of days now to inquire about my mom, who is there.
Mm-hmm.
I just called just now. I spoke with who I assume is either the operator. I don't know who it is. They cannot give me the PBX number to speak with the doctor that I need to speak with. Now, in the meantime, she has been down there for 2 weeks and some, and each time the doctor is changing. I am not getting any calls to find out how she's doing, what I'm supposed to do, or anything like that. What can I do at this point in time?
Ma'am, two challenges, really. One, the ability to reach people via the phone sometimes seem to overpower everything else. Secondly, the matter of finding out persons' medical conditions and things of that nature, unless the person...
Well, I'm her POA.
Right, and they're aware of who you are. They know your voice. You've called before. Right.
Yes.
I was about to say sometimes when they don't know who it is, they become evasive. The only other thing I could think of is an in-person visit. In these circumstances, can't think of another way to get it.
It's not the same thing now with COVID-19.
I understand that, but I mean, you are concerned about her. Mm-hmm. And if you can get through by phone, you know, as they say, if Muhammad can't go to the mountain, you know, if the mountain can't come to Muhammad, Muhammad goes to the mountain. That's why I said it's unfortunate that telephone links, which at this time should be vital, seems to be giving lots of problems to lots of people in various areas of endeavor. Schools, nurseries, government offices, private buildings, in your case, a psychiatric hospital. I don't know. I know telephones are essential. People seem to think that they are, but they just don't seem to be working in the public interest in all cases right now. And it's confusing to me because I thought this is the time you need that kind of contact.
Right.
Is there any other way you could reach the doctors other than through the psychiatric hospital?
Well, they've given me another number, which you're not getting through to the doctor as well. Oh.
Yeah.
So why give me the number if you know you can't get to the doctor?
Maybe they don't know that you can't get through.
And then when you're calling back, they're not answering the telephone. This is not good enough in these COVID times.
Yeah. As I say, it's difficult. Other than, as I said, an in-person call, I don't know. That's why sometimes I think it's better to have a network of people so that if you get or you don't get information from one, there's another avenue you could use and another avenue. It's sometimes the only way around the myriad problems that we face when we try to get crucial information, ma'am. I really can't help you on that one. Stuck. Really am stuck. And I trust me, I don't think it's a non-problem, okay? Every problem is a serious one when you're faced with it. If you are concerned, keep trying. Use every avenue at your disposal because your mind will not be at rest until you know for sure. Okay? Thank you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
No, my bad.
Yeah, can you just quickly tell me if there's a difference between a manifesto and a throne speech?
So the throne speech is supposed to be the manifesto laid out in timetable order. In other words, this is what we said in our manifesto. This is how we're going to implement the manifesto. We will A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And it's delivered by the head of state, as opposed to the head of government.
Now, the reason why I asked you that, I heard a religious commentator calling on the Prime Minister to rescind one aspect of the throne speech which relates to same-sex union and claimed that it was in the manifesto for a referendum. It confuses me. Can you call for a rescinding of a part of the throne speech? I mean, you can call, but is it something that you can tinker with?
Yeah, why not? People change their mind. There was a government that said that a manifesto is not a social contract with the people, so
right.
You could change it if you want to.
It can change
if there is enough public outcry. Things can be reversed, whether they were in this throne speech or not. They could say it's been deferred. They could say this was what we had planned, but circumstances have changed. So, look, we just had Parliament prorogued and restarted because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And a whole different plan outlined for the government.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it could be done.
I didn't know that. I was thinking that the throne speech was something that must be gazetted and assented and so on, but a manifesto is something.
Mm-hmm. It's simply the manifesto given with a time period. You know, in this next session of Parliament, my government shall A, B, C, D, A, F, G, provided, you know, all things remain the way they are.
Yeah.
That's what throne speeches do.
Okay, thank you for your explanation.
No problem, sir. If I can help, I can. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, please. Yeah, I have a little concern. We had a little rain yesterday across the island, and we are prone to flooding. I saw some videos of flooding this morning, and I am watching the situation every day. I live on Government Hill, and I walk down Government Hill every day. The Governor General lives at the bottom of Government Hill. There is a well on the west side of the northern gate that is supposed to take the water off of the road. The water runs down the gutter from Springer School right down. When it gets to the well, there is no entrance to the well because the little gutter that's supposed to channel this water has so much dirt, and it has turned into like a ground, and it has some grass, some wild grass that has turned into bush, and the water now have to go around the bush shelter at the bottom of Government Hill and get back on the very road when it got to the entrance of the well, and it just cannot go in. And we have a drainage problem, and that is outside the Governor General's gate. Mm-hmm. And NCC workers are working there often enough, I pass and see them. And I can't understand why is the mouth of this well cannot be unblocked that the water could go down enter. And this is something I watch daily. You know, and like I heard from the program, the radio makes things happen, Mr. Johnson makes things happen. But sometimes some things just need to be spoken that it is heard out there. The entrance of this well needs to be cleaned.
Yeah. Sir, we have a problem with cleaning drains, gutters, pathways. We pick up the stuff, we put it by the side of the road, it stays there for a while, the rain comes down,
and then we block
it goes
drain.
Back right back into the drain and blocks it up, or it goes further down the road and blocks another one.
And blocks up another one. Yeah.
Or, and this is the one that perhaps startles me the most, we repair a road surface and cover where the drain used to be. Now, why? I remember Green Hill, that happened on Green Hill. I kind of wonder what we think of when we do those things. And it is unfortunate, you are correct, that you see the workers taking care of Government House, which, you know, is right there. Right there.
Outside the governor's wall.
Right there. And the wall collapsed at one point because of the same strange things on the other side, because it's an old wall. And walls like that usually collapse because water gets into it, the coral stone gets soft, and they fall down. So making sure that the roadway and the pathway and the waterway is clear seems to me to make perfect sense. Perhaps those who work in and around the Government House area will listen to you. And hopefully they will take the sensible thing of moving it. Without it getting to the stage of, you know, citizens having to take matters into their own hands. Thank you for making your contributions on this, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you, John, for taking care of all things technical. And wherever you are, do continue to enjoy this Tuesday. On behalf of the team, have a good afternoon.